M48. Number 2A.
This morning we were just trying to see what consciousness is involved in practice. If our thought or consciousness is on the level of science itself, there where principle knows itself as its own synonymous terms, where principle is its own infinite mind. Therefore, it is a state of being where principle is just consciousness of its own existence and being. Then we considered it from the level of divine science, where we began to see the operational sense of that being. And we, on the level of divine science, we have the four, the world, Christ, Christianity and science as one. Naturally, it's the oneness of being, where we see that in the same divine person, the practitioner, the treatment, the patient, and the effect of the treatment is turned into one, is one big operation within that infinite being. Therefore, on divine science, on the level of divine science, where we begin to realize that the one mind manifests itself out of itself, out of mind, through itself, through mind, the whole of mind, as itself, as the whole of mind, for itself, for the whole of mind, and we can see that with every synonymous term, then we get an operational sense of the system. At that point, the system is what you call a closed system. A closed system has not the sense of a finite system, but of a system which is coherent in itself, self-contained within itself, which has no outside, nor does it go to the outside, to the outward manifestation. It has manifestation within itself. Now, that was the plane where the Bible left it. That plane of the city four square, which is symbolized by these four sides, and you get a sense of this closed system. It's definitely within itself. It is a system which is comprehended within itself, which is self-contained within itself, coherent within itself. And so we have there just that enormous operational rhythmic round of the one being looking at itself from the four points of view. Mrs. Eddy then introduced also the symbol of the four cardinal points of the city. And with that she explained the level of thought of absolute Christian science. With those cardinal points which make a cross like this. So you can see you have here what we call, and what one calls in sciences, an open system. It's no more a closed system, it's open. Because in through these coordinates, you see, you have an open space out. You don't somehow limit, though the closed system is not limited either, but you leave thought completely open to what is coming about. Every little deviation is possible within those coordinates. See? You can change and vary infinitely now the combinations of life, truth, and love. And therefore, we have here what is usually called a functional system. Whereas divine science was an operative system, here it is a functional system indicating that within divine science, within that infinite rhythmic ground of the self-operative system, there is infinite scope. There is infinite scope of functioning. And so it is a functional system. Therefore, she indicates that we can have infinite combinations. The main combination she indicates as the word of life, truth, and love as a unit, as a unity. Life, truth, and love as a unit. Truth, life, and love as a unit. Life and love, the third, as a unit, and truth and love, as you have on the chart, as the fourth unit. These four, you see, give us now a new sense of what is the practitioner, the treatment, the patient, and the healing work. Here, thought is engaged in this functional activity where one sees that life, truth, and love have infinite scope in projecting the right idea into the universe. The moment we have life, truth, and love, naturally, life, truth, and love as a unit must have that sense that life is brought to the point of love by life projecting its own idea, by the infinite impulsion of life, of its own idea, which is always true and right, truth, and therefore is always fulfilling its purpose, love. So we get a very great sense of dynamics, which says the only true practitioner, the true thinker, if you may say so, the true practicizer, who is not a person, but is life, truth, and love itself. I just love to think that life, truth, and love is the practitioner, because then I know he never goes to sleep. He's always awake, and he's always practicing. And is practicing by day, by night, without telling that he should practice, what he should practice, when he should practice, for what he should practice. One just gets that tremendous impulsion in consciousness that actually nothing else is constantly going on but that wonderful impelling life is constantly seeing its own truth, its own rightness of function, and that seeing its own truth is a perfect ideal of that truth, love. That is what's going on in being. That's the great creator, the highest sense of creator, namely that spontaneous projection into being whatever is constantly flowing out from the origin of being, from life, always bringing forth new forms of life, always bringing truth, always bringing forth those new forms of truth as perfect, complete, and fulfilled love. Now it is only a question of getting away from the old consciousness, from the old sense, that I have to think about something right, and that instead of putting the I, to put life itself, which is thinking a right truth, which is knowing itself in its true nature, and therefore is achieving something as love, and I don't have to achieve anything. It relieves me completely from the belief of having to be a practitioner. It relieves me from that, but I don't leave something in the vacuum, in emptiness. It is full. It is much fuller than before. And it is just a new habit of consciousness, if I may say so, to get used to the tone, to the hymn, to the tune, to the melody, which hears constantly life is going on. Life is going on as the facts of being, truth. And those facts of being are the best facts of being, love. If I hear that melody over and over and over until it rings true within me, then usually thought goes a step further to the Christ, to truth, life and love, which says, and this practitioner gives a treatment. Giving a treatment is really just a symbolization of saying that there is a transfer, so to say, from the practitioner to the patient. So that which is in between is the treatment, the transfer, so to say, though there is no transfer naturally, but it's symbolized like this. The higher symbol of that transfer, of that giving a treatment, is nothing else but seeing that the divine ideal, which is life, truth and love, that divine ideal is constantly expressing and manifesting itself as ideas of that ideal. That the ideal, the compound ideal, which we can call life, truth and love, is actually now in treatment the ideal of truth. Therefore it starts with truth. Truth, the ideal. And that ideal is not staying an ideal, but it has its individual, infinite expression. Life, truth, life. Infinite individual expressions as what? As the infinite ideas of that ideal. And so it gives that sense that an ideal is not a unit one. It's not, so to say, one block. I'm saying life, truth, and love is the ideal, as if it were just one block, one mass. But it says that ideal really is an infinitude of ideal representation of that ideal as ideal ideas. Call it idea, ideal. So if we take, say, the ideal of life, truth and love, then we can see that life, truth and love are not just one unit, one, well, a number one, but that life, truth and love as the ideal of being, truth, is infinitely individualized. Life individualizes, is infinitely individualized as ideal ideas of life, truth and love, which consummates really all, because that shows that each situation has its ideal expression of that ideal. In the booklets I tried to show it also with simpler symbols. I took as, say, if we have the ideal health, then the translation would be that we can see that the ideal called health is not just one health which exists as a one unit, but as an infinitude of healths, in the plural, infinitely expressed health. Health in government, health in body, health in in economy, health in politics, health in everything. And because health is an ideal, it can individualize and does individualize itself as health of everything, as the health adapted to the situation. That's why it is love. It is made to measure, so to say. This is very important to see that this is the divine absolute treatment, because that releases us from that sense which says now, oh yes, I know now the truth about God. Now, how can I translate that truth to that individual situation? And I have started right wrong. I try to translate an ideal into the form of an idea. The I is out, the personal I. The I, we have seen, is the practitioner, and that is life, truth, and love. And that life, truth, and love has in itself the ability to give a treatment. That is, in other words, has the ability to translate itself to ideas of life, truth, and love adapted to every situation. So that inwardly we just have to catch on to that state of consciousness where we accept and admit that life, truth, and love do translate themselves by themselves to every situation. So that I don't have to ask how it is done, when it is done, in which measure it is done, what will be the form of it, the channel of it, the time of it, the expression of it. Nothing I have to ask about all that. All that is fallen from off my shoulder, because I know that all-embracing fact of the divine treatment of truth, life, and love, which says, don't care, old boy. I'm all right. I'm awake. I'm the practitioner. I'm life, truth, and love. And I'm the ideal. But I'm not only the ideal. I'm that ideal which expresses itself in infinitely individualized ideals to the point of meeting every situation. I didn't say of meeting the human need. I said of meeting every situation, of expressing, so to say, that ideal of life, truth, and love as infinitely individualized ideas of life, truth, and love. See, it's just a matter of getting a new consciousness where the personal I is out, where the personal giving a treatment is out. At the beginning, most people are afraid of it because they feel they don't do the work properly. Because there is then still lingering in oneself perhaps a sense, well, is that enough? Have I done everything? Is it as easy as that? Is it as simple as that? And actually it is as simple as that. But it requires that higher consciousness. And only then it is as easy as that. All genial things are simple. The genius is the most simple thing. It's never complicated. Think of that genial formula of Einstein's relativity theory, which comprises such a big field, and it's one of the simplest formula we can think of. It's because it's genius. And everything which is genius is simple. And we always feel that something is very complicated as long as we are complicated. As long as we are not comprehensivists, we think that everything is very, very difficult, very complicated. But the more we gain a comprehensive sense of things, the easier it becomes. And this is a comprehensive sense of treatment by letting truth say, I translate myself individually, life, in a universal sense to every situation. Who on earth can go and stop it? Nobody can stop it. Who on earth can make it work? Nobody can make it work. So let it be. Let it happen. It's only our I, little I, that tries to interfere time and time and time again. Because it thinks, if I don't do it, it's not going to be done. And we male, we know how difficult that is, because we feel that if I'm not going to do it, it's not going to be done. And it takes quite a bit to lay off that male within us and see, let the divine ideal truth translate itself as infinite ideals, life, adapted to each situation, love. Let it translate. Then we come to the point where we say, yes, what does that treatment do? It says, well, that treatment does that what the Christ translation as truth, life and love says it does, namely to translate the ideal to the point of individual perfection, life and love. And at that point of individual perfection, we see, oh, well, then this patient is being taken care of. Then this situation is already being taken care of. And that being taken care of is the true patient. That's Christianity, which we can express with life and love, or love and life, perhaps even better, and see each situation impelled by the translation, by life, is being cared of infinitely by love. So that the true patient there is really not a man or a mortal or a case or whatever we may call it, but it is the acceptance, the letting in of the infinite impulsion of life and accept it as being cared, looked for, loved for, maintained for, provided for, and everything which gives a sense of love mothering what the Father is constantly doing. Love accepting, keeping intact, preserving what the Father has ever been doing. So that here, life and love, or love and life, is really seen as life as love, that life really is creating always through the practitioner and through its treatment a completely individual new situation which love is protecting and caring and helping and loving and hugging and embracing and everything. It isn't a patient. Let's look, see, in absolute Christian Science we still must deal with that art of not letting in any human conception, any material conception, because it's absolute still. It has only to do with ideas. Here, the practitioner is translated into life, truth and love, projecting ideas of life, truth and love. The treatment is overformed, so to say, into God's treatment, the treatment that God gives as truth, life and love. The patient is still overformed in the sense that each idea is being brought forth by the Father, life, and be cared for and maintained in that state by love. So that within ourselves we just have a feeling, why do you bother, old boy? Hasn't always life gone on? And love, hasn't love always loved life, the projection of life, the maintenance of life, and that's all that's going on. That's your true situation in every case. And as we think about that new sense of patient as life and love, then we somehow thought pushes further afield to science, to the foresight of truth and love, because something within us says, all is well. All is well. Truth and love, the ideal always embraced in its completeness. The ideal always consummated. The ideal always in a state of infinite perfection. Truth and love. It's that point where we begin to realize, did I ever think I could do something to perfection? Can I change perfection? Isn't every fact of being, truth, always at the point of perfection, of fulfillment? Are you trying to do God's job? Are you trying to play God? Or are you letting the facts of being be what they are? Namely, that they are what they are. They are facts, truth, in the state of ever completeness, love. We come to a rest. Always at the point of science, we come to the rest. And there I begin to see, therefore, that every problem, what the human mind looks at as problem, has never been a problem. But there were always, for everything, the facts, truth of completeness, love. That those facts always exist since time immemorial as complete and fulfilled facts. What facts? Then naturally I can enlarge about it. Then I can see what truth is. I can take into truth that I see that truth is that those facts are God created, mind created, that they are spirit unfolded and ordered, that they are soul identified, that they are principle governed, that they are life exalted, that they are truth conscious, and that they are love plan, whatever I like, that truth naturally is always all the seven. But I begin to realize at that point that whatever we seem to have to work out is always the counterfeit of science that works by itself. Whatever we seem to have to work out exists already as fact, truth, in its completeness, love. So whatever we have in front of us, either a class or a summer school or a job or any duties or whatever it is, and we think, oh, can I do it? We always think, can I do it? And so on. There comes in that beautiful fact which says, now, oh boy, sit back now, stop worrying. Are you going to study the ark or not? Are you going to play God or not? And then one sees, I can't do a thing to being. I can't to add anything, I can't take away anything from being. I just must let facts be what they are, complete. Truth and love. It's as simple as that, fundamentally. But it's a new consciousness. And I'm quite aware that in human experience, it doesn't seem as simple as that, not because it is difficult, because the I wants to do something too. Wants to be in the picture too. We want to make business in God's business too, and we can't. And so it's just first an awakening to it, to that level of absolute Christian science. But then once one is awakened to it, and when silence tells us everything, and when the rest is silence, then we hear God speak. Then something within us says, yes, 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 yes. Why? Why? Because there is the sense of Christian Science too, the plane of Christian Science. And the plane of Christian Science has those wonderful synonymous terms, mind, spirit, soul.